You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Hello, everyone. It's so great to be here. Thank you for that introduction. That was supposed to be the short version, so sorry about that.
Yeah, well, I don't know if there's any other way to describe your career other than absolutely unbelievable. You have so many great things that you've done throughout your career. So let's go ahead and take it back to the beginning. So you have a master's in international affairs and a bachelor's in political science. How did you find your way into the media and production scene?
So that's a great question. My father was in the business as well. He was a journalist, a print journalist, and the chief correspondent for the Korea Times, which was the main paper in Korea. He traveled all over the world, and whenever he would go on these incredible trips to do coverage of whatever news story, he would send us postcards. So each of us in our family would get postcards from all of these amazing places, and I still have those postcards. And so to me, I was like, oh, I wanna go there, I wanna see that. And so I kind of followed in my dad's footsteps into journalism, but I really love television. Yes. And so, growing up, I was born in the United States in New York, but we only spoke Korean at home. So when I started school at age of 6, I didn't speak a word of English.
Oh, wow.
So I might as well have just come straight from Korea. So yeah. Not having spoken any English, it was really tough. And I learned English by watching TV.
Wow.
So that's how I kind of married the following my dad's footsteps with my passion and love for television. In terms of doing my undergrad at Williams College in political science, my dad had actually said to me, and no knock on anyone who's at the School of Media and Communications, I love you guys, I support you guys 100%, but what he said to me was, you don't need to study journalism, what you need to do is study politics. You need to understand the world. You need to study history. You need to study English. You need to study other languages. And at the time, we were still in the middle of the Cold War, with the Soviet Union, and he said, you should study Russian. And so I studied Russian at Williams. It was a big program at Williams for Russian studies. So that's what I did, and so that's how I got into the business. And so I am a huge advocate of the liberal arts education. It has served me well. We didn't have at Williams, I'm sorry I'm going on a little bit, but at Williams we didn't have MediaCom of any format whatsoever. So I got my experience working at WCFM 91.9 Williamstown.
Nice.
So I was the news director and got some experience that way. Mm-hmm. I also DJed my own show, the very first Christian contemporary gospel music show on campus. So I pioneered that. I don't know if it's still alive. I did that and then got my internships, and then eventually worked my way into a job at ABC News, which was my first real job out of college.
Amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. To be at ABC News right out of college is just...
Well, it didn't happen right away.
Well, yes, that is true.
Honestly, the year that I graduated was a very bad economic year.
Okay.
And so our school was small, like Asbury. There were, 2,000 students total, mm-hmm. 500 in a graduating class. And of the 500 in my graduating class, only 30 had jobs upon graduation.
Oh, wow.
And I was not one of those 30. So I ended up doing an internship at the UN for about 5 months. I was getting paid like $10, period, to just cover my bus from home to the office and back. And I did my best. It wasn't where I wanted to be, but I learned a lot, and I took the opportunity to learn. And then I was writing the three networks, which were the major networks, ABC, NBC, and CBS, literally every 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Or following up with a phone call every 2 weeks. And it was sheer persistence. 5 months into it, all three of them called me back. ABC News had a job as a overnight desk assistant. That's the graveyard shift, 12 midnight until 8, 9, 10 in the morning. NBC was the page program, and then CBS, they didn't have a job, but they still wanted to meet with me. Mm-hmm. And so when I got the job at ABC News, that was 5 months of being absolutely persistent. And that was the ultimate for me.
Yes. Yeah, wow.
But it was also a rude awakening.
Yes, well, now you were just telling me you're almost 30 years into your career coming up in November,
right? It's 30 years, November 2nd, that I'll have been in the business.
Absolutely.
That I
amazing.
Got that first job at ABC News.
Wow, wow. So then, through all the ups and downs that you've had and through all the different jobs you've had, how would you characterize your career over the last 30 years?
Another great question. I would say it has been, I call it the cha-cha. You know, I don't know if any of you dance, but it's like one step forward, half a step back, one step forward. You know, it feels like you're going like this. It's never, my journey has not been just a straight shot up. You know, it's been, okay, I feel like I'm moving forward, but then something's holding me back and pulling me back again. And I can give you an example. So I started my job at ABC News as a desk assistant. I didn't know what my job actually was because nobody really told me. So I was just like picking up phones, getting coffee, and making copies. It sounds like a Saturday Night Live skit. Making copies,
nice.
You know? Not what I went to school for. And so I that very first day, and this was my dream job. I wanted to be at ABC News so badly, and God answered my prayer, and God gave me the job that I wanted. My first day on the job, overnight, right, 12 midnight, the only people in the newsroom are two news directors, and I'm in the only suit that I own. Dressed up, and they're all like kind of more in loungewear in the newsroom because it was midnight, nobody else was there. So my job, again, picking up the phone, making the copies, and getting coffee. And I came home that day, and I said to my dad, I said, Appa. Appa is Korean, and it, you know, means is Korean for dad. Appa, I can't do this job. He's like, why? I said, because I'm going to go brain dead. I went to Williams College. You know, the doors are supposed to swing open for me. You know, that's what they told us. It's like, no, you have to lay down your foundation. And you have to lay down your foundation brick by brick. You don't just jump two rungs on a ladder. And I said, but Appa, I feel like that's not, I want to be a journalist. Right now, I'm like a glorified, you know, gopher, you know, and he said, no, you have to lay down your foundation brick by brick. And then, you know, and you learn as much as you can. So I, you know, my dad would never steer me wrong. He's my hero mentor, and he's passed on now, but he's always with me. And I said, okay. And then I also, you know, at that point, I was also a believer. I had gotten saved when I was 16 years old. And I knew, I was like, okay, Lord, you gave me what I asked for. And I said to those interviewers, every one of those interviews, I said, whatever you want me to do, I will do it. I will do it.
They took you serious.
And they took me seriously. Yeah. So now I'm being asked to do stuff that I wasn't expecting to do. And so I was like, okay, Lord, you opened the door. You answered my prayer. You opened the door. No matter how small or menial the task, let me give my utmost to you because that's the bottom line. And so when I did that, I came back the next day with a completely different mindset and attitude. I am doing this unto the Lord, no matter how small or how, quote, demeaning the task might seem to anyone else, I'm going to honor the Lord with my substance. And that attitude has served me well all of these many, many years, because every time that I have done that, mm-hmm. the Lord has shown himself incredibly faithful. Wow. So those moments where I feel like I've done the dance of the cha-cha, where it's one step forward, two mm-hmm. steps back, when I have chosen to just trust the Lord, to obey the Lord, and not get bent out of shape, not get upset about the injustice of the situation where something was promised to me and was reneged. Or at that point, 3 years at ABC News, and then I decided to go back and get my master's degree at Columbia. And I finished the degree. It was 2 years degree. I finished it in a year and a half. I left ABC for a bit, and then my first job back, and I thought I was going to go back and work for the UN. Mm-hmm. My first job back was back at ABC, but in sports. And I had, was getting paid less than when I had left, and my title was lower than when I had left.
Back to the bottom.
Back to the bottom.
Yeah.
After I'd already been at the same company for 3 years,
wow.
and gotten a master's degree from an Ivy League school. Mm-hmm. Like, how does this make any sense at all? And again, I had to make a decision. Am I going to trust the Lord? Mm-hmm. Or am I going to get all bent out of shape and right. say, psh, it's too, you know, I'm too good for this. Mm-hmm. And I chose to honor the Lord. And in that, it was at ABC Sports, we were doing a documentary on women in tennis. Mm-hmm. At the time, the big star was Steffi Graf. You know, I play tennis yeah. too, so, you know. So Steffi Graf, and she was at the top of her game, and so she was one of the people that we were interviewing mm-hmm. for this documentary. And she's originally from Germany, obviously. So I went back to my contacts at ZDF mm-hmm. In Germany, because I had done a fellowship in Germany before. And so I called them, hey, we're doing this documentary at ABC News on Steffi Graf. Would you have any footage that you can send of her to us for this? And they said, of course. Great. They sent this footage. No one in this country had seen it yet. And it was Steffi Graf playing tennis at age 3,
oh my
hitting
goodness.
Balls with her father.
Wow.
Nobody had seen that yet. Yeah. And they were thrilled. And so part of my job as the production assistant was at the end of the project to create the list for the lower thirds mm-hmm. and the credit list. And of course, my name was also on the credit list as a production assistant, Peggy Kim.
Yeah.
And so I go over to my producer, and his name was Joe. I said, Joe, I have the list ready for you. Would you like to, you know, take a look? He's like, okay, don't leave. Mm-hmm. I'll look at it right now. So he's sitting at his desk. I'm standing there waiting for him. He doesn't look up from his paper. And he says, Peggy? I was like, yes, Joe. I want you to put yourself down as an associate producer because you worked your butt off and you deserve it.
Wow.
And I was floored. Floored. I could have cried, you know? And I was like, you know, my first thought was, wow, Lord, you're so faithful. Because my motivation wasn't, hey, if I, you know, work my butt off, Joe will see that and, you know, Joe's going to do this for me and that for me. That thought never even occurred to my mind. Mm-hmm. It was never a thought in my mind. My only thought is, let me honor the Lord. And so many points in my career that have been similar, not in the circumstance, but moments where I had to choose, okay, am I going to get bent out of shape, right. angry, bitter, retaliate, or whatever? Yeah. Or am I going to just trust and obey the Lord?
Right.
And again, every single time, it has been an elevation. And so even when Dr. Brown was reading stuff that are on my resume and bio and what have you, when I hear that, I'm not thinking, oh, how great I am, and look at what I did. It's really, look at what the Lord has done. Because it's just that simple. It's just that simple of trusting and obeying God. Mm-hmm. And the fruits are all the Lord's. You know, it's not to aim for the accolades. It's not to aim for the awards. You know, those are wonderful, but people who deserve them don't get them. You know, not everybody who gets them deserve them, and not everyone who deserves them gets them. So, you know, really one of the lessons that I've learned and that I would also want to impart to you is to just obey the Lord in the small things. You know, we all think we have to do something great for God. The greatest thing you can do for God is to trust and obey Him. And as you remain faithful to those little things, mm-hmm. He will entrust you with more.
Yeah.
So.
Great. Thank you so much for sharing that. So you are such a good example of allowing your faith to be the core of your foundation. And here at Asbury, I'm sure many of our students would agree that in our classes, our professors are preparing us to go into an unbelieving world, essentially, as believers. So what advice would you have for young students going into the workforce soon?
You know, you have to be intentional about your faith. You know, here it's easy. It's not easy, but it's easier because you are among fellow believers. You are amongst the body of Christ, and it's a little bit easier because we all tend to speak the same language and think similarly, have maybe similar lenses, even if some lenses are different for different things. So it's easier. But once you get out there, hopefully you'll stay together in some form or you know, and stay in touch and continue your friendships and build lifelong friendships. But when you're in workplaces that are different and you don't have this whole classmate peer thing going on from Asbury, you have to be intentional about your faith. And so what does that look like? And for me, I have been at my church for as long as I've been in my career. Mm-hmm. I was going to other churches prior, but after graduation and after starting my job at ABC News, I couldn't go to church anymore because my work week changed to Wednesday through Sunday, and so Sunday I had to work. And eventually my schedule changed back again, but I was like, Lord, I really want to go to church, but I'm like, I can't even go on Sunday, so what do I do? And I happened to be in the car with one of the transport guys at ABC News, and he was driving, and I'm sitting next to him, and we had just met, and something that he said, I was like, he sounds like he's a Christian. And I said, are you a Christian? And he's like, yeah. Are you a Christian? I was like, yeah. And the Lord used him to direct me to the church that I had been going to all this time. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, we have three services at 10, 3, and 6. And I said, yeah, but I don't get off until World News Tonight, you know, is done, which should be after 7. He's like, oh, you'll just come in time for the sermon. I was like, how long is this service?
Oh, wow.
He was like, it's 2 hours. Like, 2 hours?
Oh, my goodness.
So I would run from finishing up my job at 7 o'clock to church and catch the sermon and then the worship at the end. Mm-hmm. And I love the worship, and I so appreciate this worship team. I've been in the choir also for 26, 27 years, you know, and so that has been a commitment, but it's these things of being intentional about finding your community so that you can continue to grow, have fellowship, and have the Lord center in everything that you do.
Absolutely. Well, so you touched on the fact that, you know, we're here at Asbury amongst all of our friends. Many of us are believers. And so going out into the world, that's not necessarily going to be the case anymore. We're going to be around a wide variety of people in the workforce and in our personal lives. What exactly is diversity to you? What does it mean to you?
That's another great question. So to me, diversity is all of us. I mean, the Lord is the one that has created us all. Mm-hmm. And he said, it was good. Behold, it was good. That was a commandment. Mm-hmm. Behold, it was good. Mm-hmm. And so when we realize you know, that the Lord has created us. He has created us all, and we are all good. One is not better than another. God didn't say, well, these are grade A eggs, and these are grade B and grade C, grade D eggs. It's like, no, we are all grade A. We are all grade A. And so to me, it is the celebration. Mm-hmm. God is the one that told us also to celebrate who we are, because yeah. we are his creation. We have called to that. And so to me, if anyone is missing from the room, it's not diverse enough, you know? And I think the way that the industry and the media industry and corporate America and, you know, they have taken the word diversity, and people think that, okay, and I'm gonna be blunt. If you're white, you think diversity has nothing to do with you, or a lot of people think that way. And that is not true. Diversity, by its nature, its very definition and its very nature, means that it's everybody. It's everything. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a science major or you're biology, you look at all of the creation and all of that, that is part of the diversity. That is part of everything. On our board, also, you know, we have different age groups. People are coming from different companies, different backgrounds, different ethnic backgrounds, and, you know, experiences. Again, the diversity is beyond just the physical appearance. You know, it is, we are all multifaceted. You know, we are not just one thing. Yeah. Yes, okay, obviously, I am a person of color. Yes, I'm Asian. Yes, I'm Korean. But I am also a believer. First and foremost, I'm a believer. I recognize the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of God in my life. I love tennis, I love cooking, I love traveling, I love animals, I love dogs, I love singing, I love worship. So those are all things that make me who I am.
Right.
And for you, who you are, you know, so, and each of us. And so to me, you know, it's really, the diversity is something to be enjoyed, to be celebrated, to learn, and to be curious, and to build relationship, and to open yourself up. You know, this is, you know, yes, an academic institution, but that's part of the learning and the joy of learning, and learning from one another and learning about each other. And so that's to me what diversity is.
Yeah, I love that. Our differences are what makes us all beautiful and makes us all
unique.
Who we are, unique. Yeah.
Not one of us are the same.
Yeah, and that's incredible. It's amazing. So then my next follow-up question to that would be, what would your advice be for how we can all use our God-given individuality and faith to help bring light and love into this world?
Another great question. So I think, let's say I'll give you an example from, you know, being in the industry for 30 years. I have never shied away from speaking about my faith, but I'm not just evangelizing, you know? People get to know me because they are seeing my attitude, the quality of my work, my ability to respect, love, and build relationships with other people. So they're seeing all of that action before I even say the word Jesus.
Mm-hmm. You're showing rather than telling.
I'm showing rather than telling. And then I have had opportunities, because I have shown well, they want to know more about me. So we'll go and have a lunch, or we'll go and, you know, get a coffee together, or we'll come up with some other activity to do together. And they'll start to share about their own journeys, and I'll have the opportunity to pray for them. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, so where are you going on Tuesday after work? I'm like, I'm going to church because I'm in the choir. Yeah. It's like, oh, you sing in the choir? You know, the conversations naturally happen. Mm-hmm. And so if you are showing up well, we each of us represent not only ourselves, our families, our schools, our jobs, our companies. We are representing the Lord, you know. So how do we show up to others really matters. Mm-hmm. And so it's about modeling, it's about demonstrating, and then it's, again, then it's like you, the opportunities to actually share the word of God, to share the reality of Jesus Christ in your life mm-hmm. will come. And I have had so many friends who have been non-believers where I've had the opportunity to pray for them. Some of them actually came to my church mm-hmm. To say, oh, yeah, we'll come to your Christmas concert or, you know, something like that. And especially in the last few years, we've had a lot of transitions and difficulties in the industry itself, a lot of layoffs and what mm-hmm. have you. And a lot of my slightly older colleagues, yeah. many of them been, you know, laid off, and they have served the industry so well, but they find it very difficult to get back into the industry because it seems like it's so youth obsessed. Mm-hmm. And so there's a age discrimination thing happening, and mm-hmm. that's kind of not so great either.
Right.
And they feel down and depressed, and they may not have considered the Lord before, but I'll get in conversation with them, and I'll encourage them, and I've prayed for them. They have cried over the phone, and they, you know, it's like, so the Lord is touching them. Mm-hmm. You know, and I am continuing to pray for them, and several of them have now a relationship with the Lord that they didn't have before.
Amazing. That is just yeah. amazing. Thank you so much for sharing. Well, just as the band comes up here soon, do you have any final thoughts that you'd like to share for our amazing students here at Asbury?
Yeah, you know, I know a lot of you, like all of us, have had a really rough couple of years. And I know it's been different and difficult on campus, but I want to really encourage you. You are being prayed for, seriously prayed for by the board, by the faculty, by the staff. You are being prayed for. And so, you know, don't lose heart. I know it's been tough. It's been tough for so many of us. You've experienced a lot of loss. There's been grief. And you're still dealing with the grief, or maybe you kind of put off dealing with the grief. But I want to encourage you to don't be afraid to just cry when you need to cry. Because all of that pain, if you hold it in, it's going to make you sick. But there's, you know, make sure that when you're releasing your grief, that you do it in a healthy way, that it's going to be a relief and a release that is still, you know, because the Lord sees every tear. He counts you precious. You are precious. And you are loved. And you have hope. You are our future leaders. And so, you know, be encouraged. Be encouraged. This is just for a season. It will get better. And so just have the mindset of hope. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Trust the Lord and love one another. We have seen so much division in so many different forums. Don't fall into that trap. It's so easy to fall into that trap. In church, you can fall into that trap. In a Christian institution, you can fall into that trap. Love one another. That is the greatest commandment, you know. Someone asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? Of all of these, what is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and with all your strength. And love others as you know, as you would want to be loved. You know, so if you do that, that's it. That is it. That's all you have to do. It's that simple. We make it complicated, but it's just that simple. So just be encouraged. We love you. I love you. And I'm thankful so much for this time to do this conversation with you. Thank you, Allie.
Well, thank you. I'm so thankful that God brought you here today to share this message with us. Ladies and gentlemen, Peggy Kim.